जिगंसयाप्यायदप्यसाधने लेधे गतिं धात्रिमुचितं ततोऽन्यं कं वा दयालुं शरणं व्रजेम. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana? Although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. Purport. Here is an example of the extreme mercy of the Lord. Even to his enemy, it is said that a noble man accepts the good qualities of a person of a doubtful character, just as one accepts nectar from a stock of poison. In his babyhood, he was administered deadly poison by Putana, a she-demon, who tried to kill the wonderful baby. And because she was a demon, it was impossible for her to know that the Supreme Lord, even though playing the part of a baby, was no less than the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. His value as the Supreme Lord did not diminish upon his becoming a baby to please his devotee Yashoda. The Lord may assume the form of a baby or a shape other than that of a human being, but it doesn't make the slightest difference. He is always the same Supreme. A living creature, however powerful he may become, by dint of severe penances, can never become equal to the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna accepted the motherhood of Putana because she pretended to be an affectionate mother, allowing Krishna to suck her breast. The Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards him the highest reward. That is the standard of his character. Therefore, who but the Lord can be the ultimate shelter? Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham. This has been described by Uddhav to Vidur. He is remembering Lord Krishna because Lord Krishna had already departed to the spiritual world and had ordered Uddhav to come to Badrinath. And on the way to Badrinath, Uddhav met Vidur at Haridwar. And therein, when Vidur inquired from Uddhavji about the Krishna's activities, rather than simply speaking about the disappearance of the Lord, Uddhav started remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one way he remembered is by explaining what happened to the demons, those who came in contact with Krishna. Whatever bad qualities they had, but because they came in with the connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they all attained perfection. So this is one of the verse. And in the beginning of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Parikshit Maharaj was very eager to hear about Lord Krishna's pastime, Sukadeva Goswami already spoke about the dynasty of Surya Vamsha, which involves the activities of Lord Ramachandra. And he started speaking about Chandra Vamsha, where the Supreme Personality of Lord Krishna appears. And immediately Parikshit Maharaj became very eager, and he had this fear in his heart The fear was, maybe Shukadeva Goswami might minimize the pastime of the Lord, might condense the pastime of the Lord, may not explain elaborately. And he wanted to hear the pastime of the Lord in great detail. So in the first chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj told Shukadeva Goswami, he said, my dear great sage, he said, it is very good that when you speak about Krishna Katha, what does it do? Nivritta Tarshir Upagiyamana. That it destroys all the material lust when we sing about Krishna's pastime. Bhavausha Chotra Manobirama. That this is the medicine for one who is suffering from the disease of material life. And only one who is a cow killer or killer of his own soul will not be interested in hearing about Krishna. And again, Srila Prabhupada explains that one is engaged in ritualistic activities, practicing the karma kanda section of the Vedas, where it involves the killing of the animals. He is also considered as butcher of the animals. He is killing the animals. He will not be interested in hearing the pastime of the Supreme Lord. And second kind of person is one who kills the cow. A cow killer, because his heart has become very hard, he cannot hear about Krishna. But Parikshit Maharaj told Shukadeva Goswami, but my dear Lord, what is my family? My family background is that there is a tradition of my family to take shelter of you. My grandfather Arjun, he took your shelter during the battlefield. My great-grandmother, Mother Kunti, took your shelter. And in fact, my mother also, when she was about to lose her only son, that is me, Parikshit, she called out for you. So that is our family business, to take care of you whenever we are in danger. Pandavas being in danger was a regular activity. It is not that once they took shelter of Krishna, they were freed from the danger. That was the family affair for the Pandavas, to be in danger and at the same time taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, my dear Parikshit, hence I am facing death. It is quite natural for me to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is what I have decided. And if you think that I am suffering, naishati dussahakshunmam, tektodam api badyate, tvam mukhan bojam. He said, my dear Shukadeva Goswami, he said, do not consider that I am affected by hunger and thirst. It does not bother me. And Prabhupada explains, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, how can you say that you are not hungry and thirsty? It is not possible. It is quite natural that if you are fasting, you will feel hungry and thirsty. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj immediately says that I am drinking nectar from your lotus mouth. Therefore, there is no thirst and hunger. So therefore, keep on speaking Chutam Hari Katamritam. Incessantly, you keep speaking the pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do not worry that I am hungry and thirsty. That is not my problem. And when Parikshit Maharaj spoke this, Shukadeva Goswami became very happy. That gave confidence in the heart of Shukadeva Goswami that my audience is willing to hear. One time, one devotee came to Srila Prabhupada after the class was over. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, you spoke very nicely today. And Prabhupada felt encouraged. He said, what did I speak? And his devotee gave some main points. Prabhupada, you spoke these things. And then Prabhupada said, because you spoke this to me, I feel very satisfied. Because I saw many people were sleeping in the class. And I was not speaking to them. They were discouraging me, but I was only speaking to them, those who were up and awake. And you confirmed it, that you liked it. That is very nice. And Prabhupada thanked him for, you know, saying that you gave a good class. So when Parikshit Maharaj was given that confidence by Shukadeva Goswami, he applauded the conviction of Parikshit Maharaj. And he said, my dear Parikshit, when there is a Krishna Katha is going on, Vasudeva Katha Prashna, three kinds of people get purified. Vaktaram, Prachakam, Shrotrim. Said, one who is speaking, he gets purified. One who is the questioner, one who specifically asks question, he gets purified. And all the general audience, those who are sitting here and there, you know, simply inquisitive, said they also get purified. Just like when Mother Ganga emanates, three planetary systems get purified. Heavenly planets, earthly planets, and lower planets. And then Shukadeva Goswami started to narrate. And before that, again, Parikshit Maharaj, he asked as if there were challenging questions. He said, my dear Lord, how is that one can kill his own uncle? Krishna, he killed his own uncle Kamsa. How is it possible? In the Vedic tradition, when uncle does not have any offspring, then the sister son inherits all the property. So that was the facility awarded for Krishna, but still Krishna killed his own uncle. So I am eager to know about this. Of course, this is not the challenging question of a doubtful person. This challenging question is the eagerness of a devotee. Like one devotee was explaining, one logician, he came to God and he said, my dear God, we prove your existence by logic. Like there was one recent article, one mathematician, he said by mathematical calculation one can prove the existence of God. 60% can be proved that God exists, and 40% mathematically can be proved that He does not exist. So this logician came to God and he said, my dear God, it is we who prove your existence, so therefore you give your audience to me. Of course, he could not see God. Because even if you prove the existence of God by logic, you cannot see God because you are not a devotee. And similarly, a devotee can also challenge. One time in Tirupati temple, just like we saw, hundreds of people are standing in line. And there is a VIP darshan, they can sit for hours together. So one simple sadhu, he was walking around all the holy places, he came to Tirupati Balaji. He wanted to have a darshan of the Lord. But he could not, he was pushed out. And he became very upset. And he wrote a small letter to Balaji. And in that letter he mentioned, my dear Balaji, you have become very arrogant because many rich devotees come to you, they pay you money. And because of them, you don't have any attention over us. I can't even have your darshan. But you should know, you are famous only because of your devotees. They go on talking about you everywhere. They spread your glories. And because they spread your glories, people come to you. But you have no facilities for us to take darshan. And he threw that chit some other in the Garbhagriha. And when the Lord's chariot was coming out of the regular procession, right in front of that devotee, the Lord's chariot stopped. And Lord Balaji gave darshan to his devotee. So when a devotee challenges, Krishna accepts it. He likes it. But when a logician does it, Krishna does not care for it. So similarly, Parikshit Maharaj's question is of this kind. A kind which will inspire Shukadeva Goswami to speak. And then immediately Shukadeva Goswami, how does he begin in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? Srila Prabhupada also begins the Krishna book. Once upon a time, then all the demonic forces posing as the great kings, when they were burdening this earth, then Mother Bhumi, she approached Lord Brahma. That just see, I've been burdened by this demonic king, they're causing so much a problem. That is how Shukadeva Goswami begins the Krishna's pastime. So the demons are very much integral part of Krishna's pastime. And as we discussed yesterday, the demons represent anarthas. And only when the anarthas are destroyed, then it becomes easy to see Krishna. Otherwise, even though we may have good intention, but if the anarthas are not destroyed, then it is not easy to see Krishna. And we can see about Putana also when we discuss about her previous lives. So Shukadeva Goswami explained, when he started speaking about appearance of Putana in Vrindavan, he explains, Kamsena Prahita Ghora Putana Balaghatini Shishumsha Chachara Nignanti Pura Grama Brajadishu. That this Putana demon, she came to Vrindavan. She was sent by King Kamsa with the intention of killing all baby children. And Harivamsa explains, when she came from Mathura to Vrindavan, she had disguised herself as a small bird. Therefore the word in Bhagavat explains Utpatya. Utpatya means flying. And Harivamsa, again this is the description of 10th canto, explains that Putana came flying to Vrindavan, and right at the outskirts of Vrindavan she changed herself into a most beautiful form. Now Shukadeva Goswami starts this story that she is sent by Kamsa and she is coming to Vrindavan. And abruptly Shukadeva Goswami stops this story and speaks something else. It is like there is no connection. He says, Nayatra Shravanadini Raksha Gnanani Sakarvasu Kurvanti Satvatam Bhartur Yatu Dhanascha Tatrahi. He said, my dear Parikshit, wherever there is some danger, and by simply chanting the names of Lord Krishna, all the dangers are destroyed. And what to speak of danger in Vrindavan? The Supreme Personality of Godhead personally resides. So therefore there is no danger. So why did Shukadeva Goswami say this to Parikshit Maharaj? He explains, Srila Prabhupada explains, because when Parikshit Maharaj heard that Putana is coming to Vrindavan with the intention of killing children, immediately there was fear in the heart of Parikshit. He became concerned for Krishna. What will happen to my Lord? Just see, even though the pastime had taken long back, he is only narrating the story, but the story and the pastime, there is no difference. There is absolutely no difference. It is absolute. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Krishna's pastime is going on everywhere. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, when a devotee meditates upon one pastime of the Lord, actually that pastime is taking place in the heart of his devotee. Therefore, in one place Krishna is about to see Putana, in another place is about to close his eyes, in another place is about to suck the breast of this deadly witch. So in this way, everywhere, whoever meditates, meditation of the pastime, hearing of the pastime, and actual pastime which takes place, absolutely there is no difference. And Shukadeva Goswami could grasp it, that Parikshit has become scared. He is concerned about Krishna, and therefore Shukadeva Goswami spoke this verse. And it is explained that when the child is born, there are different kinds of evil planets, they affect this child. They are called as Graha Pida. When the child is 1 day old, there is an evil planet represented by Papini. Just like there is Putana, there is Papini. And when she affects the child, it is said that the child turns his head back and forth. That is a sign that this Papini demoness has attacked. And second day, the child is attacked by Bhashini demon. She comes and attacks the child. And the signs are coughing. And on the third day, Ghantali affects the child. In this way, continuously for 10 days, different kinds of demons, they attack the child. And there are different symptoms. And the solution is also given, but it is a ritualistic solution, therefore we will not talk about that. And when the child becomes 1 month old, the Shastra explains, there is a demoness named as Putana, she attacks the child. And there is also an evil planet known as Putana, she attacks the child when the child is 1 month old. And that is, the child does frequent breathing and he screams like a crow. And then his body trembles. And the Shastra explains, till 13 years old, different kinds of demons, they keep attacking the child. So herein Shukadeva Goswami speaks. There is no need to perform any ritualistic activities. Simply by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. One can overcome the fear of the demoness. So Putana came to Vrindavan in the form of the bird and immediately she changed her form. She appeared as the most beautiful lady. And when she came to Vrindavan, Shukadeva Goswami explains, especially the men, by seeing her beauty, they were wonderstruck. They considered that she is goddess of fortune. And then Kavi Karanapur explains, the men of Vrindavan, because they are villagers, you know, they are quite blunt and open. They started calling different apsaras in the heavenly planets. They told Urvashi, hey Urvashi, by seeing Putana, they didn't call her Putana, they thought she is goddess of fortune. He said, just see this beautiful lady who has appeared in Vrindavan. Compared to her beauty, your beauty is so insignificant that you'll become the consort of a frog. And then they told Grathachi, another beautiful damsel. He said, your beauty is like a melted butter. But in compared to this Putana's beauty, your beauty is like water which is covered with the cremation ash. And they told Alambu, he said, you are so proud of your beauty, which is like a, you know, you exhibit your pride as if a long bamboo. But by the appearance of Putana, that bamboo has become crushed to powder. And they called Tilottame. Now everyone is laughing at you, just see, because you have no beauty compared to Putana, everyone is laughing at you. So in this way, all the Vrajabasis openly, they were ridiculing the heavenly damsels. And Putana came inside. She was very beautiful. And she directly entered inside the house of Lord Krishna. And when she entered inside the house of Lord Krishna, it is explained, Mother Yashoda and Rohini, they are very careful and concerned about their child. They let her come inside. They didn't stop, unknown lady. And when she came inside, she was whirling a lotus flower, as if she was a goddess of fortune. And then they thought, oh, today Ambika has come. Gauri has come to our place. Goddess of fortune has come to our place. So let her take our child. What is the problem? So they allowed Putana to pick up Lord Krishna. And it is explained that when Putana picked up Krishna, she was about to pick up Krishna. First of all, she observed Krishna. Both were seeing each other. Krishna saw Putana and Putana also saw Krishna. And it is a very important point. Srila Prabhupada explains that this beauty, external beauty, is very deceptive. Mohitam, mohitam nabhi janati. That by simply seeing the external beauty, one can be bewildered. Of course, that Yashoda and Rohini Mata were not bewildered by the external beauty. But the point for those who are bewildered by the external beauty, they allow their own offspring. One Madhva Sampradaya Acharya, he was giving a commentary on this part of the story. Because Putana represents false guru. And drinking milk is compared to nourishing our brain substance. It makes our finer tissues so refined so that we can understand spiritual matters. And allowing our young lad to be given to such false gurus, what do? They teach wrong concepts. So he was saying that Madhva Sampradaya Guru, he was saying that giving your child is like giving your child to so-called educational institution which teach atheistic philosophy. One time we were discussing with Radhanand Maharaj. We were discussing about the Mahabharata stories. In textbooks also, in the textbooks, the story of Karna, the story of Ekalavya, how do they present for the young children? They present Arjuna is a villain and Ekalavya is a hero. Self-made person, therefore there are, you know, Ekalavya tutorials. Self-study, because he self-studied. He is made as a big hero. And Maharaj was mentioning, yes, before I came in touch with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary, so even I had that understanding that he's very, you know, determined person. And I told that, you know, in our school there was a, when I was in fourth standard, there was a story of Ekalavya. And very clearly it makes that how Ekalavya is a hero and Arjuna is bad. And when our teacher taught that story, most of our classmates were condemning Arjuna. So therefore Maharaj said, therefore we have Gopal Garden, so that we can give them proper understanding of the scripture. No wrong understanding. From early childhood, they will get proper stories. So Putana was like that. She would nourish with a poison and kill the children. So when she came inside Nanda Maharaj's house, she picked up baby Krishna. And before picking up baby Krishna, she realized that this is not ordinary child. He was just like ash being covered by the fire. She misunderstood Krishna like a person, a less intelligent person, misunderstands snake to be a rope. And when Krishna saw Putana coming inside, Prabhupada says there are the perplexities from both the side. From the side of Putana and also from the side of Lord Krishna. What was the perplexity? From Putana side, but the perplexity was, Sukadeva Goswami explains, Krishna is Antakam and Anantam. Antakam means, he is the personification of Kala. Everything is destroyed by the time factor. And Anantam means unlimited. So Putana, when she came inside, she saw, that is Antakam, he is my killer, but I want to kill him. How is it possible? And not only I cannot kill him because he is my annihilator, he is unlimited. That was the first perplexity. And Krishna's perplexity was, when Krishna saw her, he said, this lady has got no good intention. She is a personification of inauspiciousness. But she has come to me with the intention of breastfeeding me. So now my problem is that I have to give her blessings. And because of that perplexity, Krishna closed his eyes. And then Sukadeva Goswami explains, many acharyas give many reasons why Krishna closed his eyes. One reason Krishna closed his eyes is that, because as a baby child performing the pastime of a baby boy, whenever you see something which is not auspicious, you feel fearful. Our children have a different dimension. Even if somebody may look very good, they may not reciprocate with them. They were a different dimension. Even though Putana was looking very beautiful, for a baby, he could see on a different dimension. Therefore, Krishna closed his eyes, thinking that she is a very fear personified. And second, it is explained, Krishna was thinking that, I am such a small baby, but still I have to see an inauspicious person. Therefore he closed his eyes. And thirdly, Krishna closed his eyes because he was thinking, if I open my glance, the touch of glance will make violence activity into be auspicious. So Krishna did not want it to do that. Because seeing Putana means Putana will get benefited. So therefore Krishna did not want it to happen that. So therefore he closed his eyes. And then again it is explained, Krishna closed his eyes because he thought, now I have to see an inauspicious death. And Krishna also closed his eyes thinking that this is the first demon who has come in the form of a woman and I have to kill her. That is also not very good. Therefore he closed his eyes. And Srila Prabhupada gives very beautiful example why she closed her eyes. He says, Krishna closed his eyes because Putana could realize that something strange is going to happen. Within her heart, Krishna is dictating something to her. Something is going to happen to you. Don't worry. Just like sometimes you see the great sages, the saintly people, when somebody comes to them, they ask some question, they close their eyes, as if giving an assurance. So Prabhupada says, Krishna closed his eyes, giving assurance to Putana that you are going to attain something most wonderful. Therefore Krishna closed his eyes. And then, after closing his eyes, Putana came, she picked up the child. Sukadeva Goswami explains to Parikshit Maharaj, even though Putana was beautiful, but she was very fierce. Her intention was to kill Krishna. And she picked up the child. She was like a sword which is covered in a soft silk sheath. She picked up Krishna and she about to start feeding the breast milk. And Krishna was ready for the kill. And immediately Krishna caught hold of Putana very tightly with his both hands. And he started kicking at the chest of Putana, and he grabbed with his two hands the breast of nipples of Putana, and he forcefully took it in his mouth. And Putana realized that he is going to kill me. And Krishna started sucking. First he sucked all the milk, then he sucked all the poison, and then he about to suck her life air. And Putana started screaming. She said, Samuncha munchalam iti prabhashini. Nishpidyamana akila marma jiva marmani. She started screaming, Samuncha muncha. He said, leave me. Leave me child. She was about to dislodge Krishna from her chest. But Krishna was very forceful. He did not allow. And Krishna's killing, he was kicking Putana so badly, Srila Prabhupada explains, Krishna was not angry for himself. Krishna was angry because this Putana had killed so many young children. And therefore, Lord Krishna was very angry with Putana. And when Krishna started kicking her, and it sucked her life air, and the great hall and screaming, she ran out of the house, ran outskirts of the village. She expanded into such a huge form, and she fell down, crashing so many living entities, crashing huge flower fruits orchards. All the trees from that orchards were destroyed. And Srila Jiva Goswami explains, those orchards were of the ownership of Kamsa. And those orchards had special kinds of fruits, special mangoes. And all of those fruits along with the trees were destroyed. So when you try to kill somebody, your property gets destroyed. So Putana lay down there dead. And Krishna was kicking, playing around. And Shukadeva Goswami explained very beautifully. He said, just see, Putana was not a devotee, neither she was a demon, neither she was a non-devotee. She was a demon who came with the intention of killing Krishna. But see her good fortune, that to even to see Krishna's lotus footprints, to see Krishna's lotus feet, one performed millions of years of tapasya. But still one cannot attain it. Pantastu koti satavastara samragamyam vayaratapi manaso munipungavanam. Even after performing millions of years of tapasya, one may not be able to see the toenail of Krishna's lotus feet. What to speak of constantly getting kicked by Lord Krishna? What was her qualification to get there? It is only Krishna's desire. It was Krishna's mercy to Putana. So therefore Krishna's constantly hitting Putana even though Putana did not want it. And we know all the Vrijvasis came. And by seeing that form, they were wonderstruck. They were fearful. Fearing something will happen to Krishna. And Mother Yashoda also came. She picked up her child. And immediately, they bathed Krishna with cow urine, cow dung, and they chanted mantras with different kinds of nyasas and mudras. And after performing all of that stuff, Yashoda took Krishna and started feeding her breast milk. And Prabhupada explains, whenever there is sickness for a child, or there is some danger for the child, when the child is fearful, feels sickness, to see that the child is well or not, the mothers feed their breast milk. And if the child sucks the milk, that gives the confidence to mother, now my child is okay. So she was doing that. And meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj came back to Vrindavan. And when he came back to Vrindavan, he saw Putana lying there, a huge body. And immediately remembered the words of Vasudeva. Yes, Vasudeva had predicted that go immediately, take care of your child. There may be some danger. And he said, oh, Vasudeva knows how to predict. Vasudev knows how to predict. That's how Nanda Maharaja's thinking. And Prabhupada explains this is the difference between a simple Vaishya and diplomatic Vasudev. A Vaishya cannot think in a diplomatic way, he cannot understand, but Vasudev being a diplomat could understand what will be the future, what comes I can do. So out of his common sense he had predicted that there will be a danger. But Nanda Maharaja is taking it as that Vasudev knows he can predict the past, he can predict the future. And then immediately all the Vrajavasis, they took the body of Putana. And her body when it was expanded, it is described by Sukadeva Goswami, her teeth were appearing to be front part of the plow. Her nostrils were like a deep mountain cave. And her breast was like fallen rocks from the mountains. And then her thighs were like the bank of the river. Her arms and legs were like the bridges. And her abdomen was like dried up lake. That was the appearance of Putana. So all the Brajavasis, they took that body and cut it in different parts and they started burning it. When they started burning the body of Putana, they could smell a most wonderful fragrance as if the mixture of Chatushma, Aguru, Keshar and Camphor. If you go to the cremation ground, you don't find like that. It's a most horrible smell. Even though human beings are burned, what to speak of demon? How is that, even though Putana was a demon, how is that her body was so fragrant? It is a very amazing thing that when a devotee practices devotional service, and he because lives a sattvic life, he starts dismantling or destroying all of his anarthas, he does not release bad odor. He does not release bad kind of smell. It is quite natural. If you go to the great souls and just smell their clothes also. After you wear your clothes and take it out, it stinks. But with the great souls it is not like that. Why? Because they do not release the contamination what ordinary people release. One becomes purified inside and also becomes purified outside. So because Putana's contamination was sucked by Krishna, what happened? He became a vacuum cleaner. He took out all the contamination. And Putana, whatever remained was her original identity of being the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So after burning the body of Putana, all the Brajabasis, they remembered the words of Garga Muni. How this child would be protected by Lord Narayan. They forgot that he himself was Lord Narayan. And then our acharyas explained that after killing Putana, our Sukadeva Goswami explains what to speak of actually being in that pastime, seeing that pastime. Simply by hearing this pastime of Lord Krishna, killing Putana, one will attain perfection. So therefore this Putana, she resembles what? Fake guru, false guru. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his commentary on this story, explains so beautifully. He says that who is guru? And what is the position of guru? He says, guru is not institutionalized. Just like in the Western world, we see that the churches, they're all institutionalized. They cannot go beyond that. They can only give certain kind of knowledge. So he says, from the very beginning, the child is given education which takes him away from the real spiritual substance. He can give very superficial knowledge. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, even though he created institution, but institution is not there just to make everything compartmentalized. If the institution cannot give the substance, one time one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, now what Prabhupada, if ISKCON goes wrong, ISKCON goes bad, he said, we will dismantle it. We'll finish it off. Because somebody else will come, he will read the books, and again he will start fresh ISKCON with a proper spirit. So therefore, the whole process of bhakti involves that being nourished by a proper guru. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that if a disciple accepts a guru, and if the guru is not qualified to give proper knowledge according to the level of a disciple, then he is a fake guru. Or if a guru speaks about the high rasa tattva to an unqualified disciple, then such guru is also like a putana only. In the name of milk, he is simply giving a poison. And then again it is said that if a guru, if it does not help a disciple to advance, there are basic knowledge and there are higher knowledges as a disciple after practicing devotional service, as he increases, if it does not help him to advance, then if the disciple falls back again to materialistic activities, then such guru is also considered as a fake guru. So therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur very beautifully explains these concepts. To accept a proper guru is very important. And then there are certain class of people, they say, guru business, no, it is not good. Accept your mind, your argument as a guru. Why do we need a guru? Whatever you feel in your mind, whatever you feel in your intelligence, accept that as a guru. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains, that is also like a putana. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, when one of his god brother, after the departure of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, unfortunately fell down. And after falling down, he was in a big position. It was too difficult for him to accept that, you know, that fallen position. So then he came to the Babaji's of Vrindavan and he inquired from them, what is this fall down? In fact, he engaged in illicit activities. And those Babaji's, they said, look, these kind of activities what you perform, illicit sexual connection, he said, it is just like, you know, responding to the call of nature. Does it make any difference in your life how many times you respond to call of nature? One may respond to call of nature 3 times a day or 4 times a day if stomach is bad, or one may respond to the call of nature 1 time a day. But that has nothing to do with your spiritual life. It is the bodily activities. So similarly, they say, engaging in this kind of activity is a bodily activity. It does not make any difference to your spiritual life. So do not worry about it. Just see. But because he was connected to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was nourished by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he followed that philosophy for some time, but he could not take it. He committed suicide. He had to give up his body feeling repentance. And Srila Prabhupada, in 1950, he wrote one very beautiful poem as a Vyas Puja offering to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In that Vyas Puja offering, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, he told, my dear Gurudev, he said, it is very wonderful to see that after your departure, the share of a lion, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was compared to a lion guru. He said, it was your share. You are supposed to have it. But unfortunately, the lion's share has been taken by the vultures and the jackals. And it is the most unfortunate thing. And Srila Prabhupada was specifically referring to this case. So we can see that how much it is important not to fall in the trap of the false guru. And Srila Prabhupada explains, the Buddhists, the Mayavadis, and the Karma Mimamsa people, they all fall into, those who teach that, they all fall into the fake gurus. And only those who teach pure Krishna conscious philosophy. And while teaching the pure Krishna conscious philosophy, just like Lord Krishna, even though he is the most compassionate Lord, he does not like to harm anyone. In fact, in the Bhagavatam it is explained, when Duryodhan was being smashed by Bhima, Shukadeva Goswami very specifically mentioned, Krishna did not like it. He was saddened by that, to be seeing that Duryodhan is being smashed, but there was no other alternative. So similarly, even though the great compassionate gurus, they appear and preach pure Krishna consciousness, but their way of preaching pure Krishna consciousness is naturally involves being harsh with false gurus. When Srila Prabhupada was in Denver, he heard about many such false gurus. And he became very harsh. He said, okay, he claimed that he is a God. He claimed that he is the Supreme Guru. He said, I will kick on his face. And if he is a real Guru, let him chant some mantras and kill me. Because I am a demon for him, I will kick on his face. And by kicking on his face, he becomes angry at me. And let him chant mantras and kill me. Then I will accept him as a God. But he cannot do that, because he is not a God. And Prabhupada explained, just like I am doing, exposing fake gurus, it is also your responsibility to establish the proper Siddhanta of Vaishnavism. And therefore Srila Prabhupada's principle was, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschapta Desha Tarine Rupanuga Virudha Apasiddhanta Dvanta Harine. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also. So only when we understand that there is a difference, this is right, this is wrong. In Chaitanya Charitamrit purport, Prabhupada writes in one place, some people, some gurus claim, you are also right, we are also right. But we say, only we are right and you are all wrong. Prabhupada writes in the purport. Why? Because we do not want to live such a compromised philosophy. Because in compromised philosophy, what will happen? In the name of everything is right, the conclusion will be, they will feed you the breast milk of Putana, which will chalk your life. So therefore Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, so by appearance of Putana, she gave rise to pure theism. How? By Krishna killing her, he made it very clear that it is required to kill, and by killing her, she stopped chalking the real spiritual principle, and the real spiritual principle can flourish. Therefore it is explained in Mahabharata that even though living entity may come with a bad background, Garga Samhita explains differently about Putana's previous birth, and Mahabharata speaks a different story, and another Vaishnava Acharya gives another story about Putana's background. And all can be reconciled. In the Mahabharata it is explained, there was a sage called Kala Bhiru, and he had a daughter Charumati. And this Charumati was married to sage Kakshivan. Kala Bhiru had a daughter named Charumati, and she was married to Kakshivan. And one time when Kakshivan had gone to perform tapasya, his wife Charumati was enticed by a low-class Shudra. And when Kakshivan came back, when he saw that, you know, his wife, born of a great sage, she's engaged in nonsensical activities, he cursed her, saying that you become a demoness. He become an evil planet demoness called Putana. And she begged his forgiveness. Then he said, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna appears in his full-fledged form, that time he will save you. By sucking your life air, he will save you. This is the Mahabharata explains. And Garga Samhita explains that Bali Maharaj's daughter, some say daughter, some say sister. So she was the sister of Bali Maharaj. Her name was Ratnamala. So this Ratnamala, when she saw Vamandev appearing in the sacrificial arena, by seeing the beauty of Vamandev, she became very happy. And she desired, if I can feed a breast milk to this child. That was her first desire. But when Vamandev took everything away from her brother, she said, wish I can feed him the breast milk which is contaminated with poison. So Krishna fulfilled both of her desires. He allowed her to give him poison, and at the same time he allowed her to give milk also. But because he took the best one, as Uddhav explains, she was given the position of Dhatri. And again, somebody was listening to Prabhupada's lecture. Prabhupada explained the definition of Dhatri. Dhatri means sometimes mother cannot feed her breast milk to her child. Because of some reason she cannot feed. So then there is a next best person, and she is called as Dhatri, who can feed her milk to a child. So you can imagine, in the spiritual world, a she demon was given the position of Dhatri, who could regularly feed her breast milk to Krishna. That was the position given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And another Acharya, he explains, who has a little different philosophy. Their philosophy is that if you are a demon, if you act demonically, then never in your existence you can change into a devotee. Quite fearful one. So he tells a different version of this story. He says, one time Urvashi in the heavenly planets, she offended Indra. And Indra cursed her to become a Putana demon. So this Putana came, who was Urvashi, but because she is from the heavenly planets, she appeared in the body of a Tataka. Tataka demon whom Lord Ramachandra had killed in Ramachandra's pastimes. So it is explained by these Acharyas that this demon, as they are killed by the Lord, they again become demon. They keep going into the lower species of life. So she became much greater demon than her previous lifetime. So Tataka became Putana, and Urvashi entered into her body. And when Putana was killed by Krishna, Urvashi went back to heavenly planets, and Tataka went to the lower regions of the hellish planet. According to the version of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is hope giving to us, what is that? Even if somebody born demonic, but somehow that he comes in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whatever means, if Krishna glances, or if Krishna's devotees plead on behalf of such a demon, then what will happen? That such person can also be rectified. Therefore, herein Uddhavji is speaking to Vidur. He said, which other god can I take shelter of? This is the contrast. One is that she has come to kill Krishna. She can only say, please forgive her, like Jesus Christ did. He said, oh my Lord, they not know what they do, please forgive them. That is one kind of mercy. But just see Krishna's mercy. He is not only forgiving, forgiveness is very passive. But giving a position, high position, that is very active kind of mercy. And Krishna is doing with the conditioned souls. If he can offer it to Putana demon, he can certainly offer us to, he can also offer to us also. So therefore, by chanting, by associating with devotees, and Sukadeva Goswami concludes the pastime of this story, he says, anyone who hears this pastime of Krishna killing Putana, or anything which is connected to Lord Govinda, not only the person, anything which is connected to Lord Govinda, he'll be freed from all kinds of inauspiciousness. That is the benediction awarded by Sukadeva Goswami. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.
All the devotees are here. After this wonderful kirtan, if you can look right behind me, the Nilkanth Parvat is slowly giving its darshan. Slowly the clouds are uncovering. Right between the valley of these two mountains, there is the Nilkanth Mountain. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Deshitarini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhar Shiva Shri Gaurav Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So we are on this beautiful mountain of Narayan Parvat. This is called the Narayan Mountain. And right in front of us across, if you can see where my finger is pointing, that is the Nara Mountain. This is where Narayan Rishi performs his tapasya eternally, and the Naran Rishi performs his tapasya there eternally. And in between is the Alakananda River. The beautiful sound of the river coming down is of Rishi Ganga that comes down this mountain and joins Alakananda. In the Valmiki Ramayana, one of the commentaries, there is a mention of Lord Ramchandra going for instructions from Vasishtha Muni. And after the two sons, Ram, Lakshman, and also Shatrughna and Bharat are handed over by Dhritarashtra Maharaj, by Dashrath Maharaj, Valmiki or Vasishtha Muni tells Dashrath Maharaj, kindly step out of this room. There is something I want to talk with Lord Ramchandra alone. And after Maharaj steps out and he is alone with Lord Ramchandra, so Vasishtha Muni falls at his feet and says, actually you are the Supreme Lord, but somehow I have to take the situation of instructing you. So please bless me. Similarly, the main inspiration and guide for this yatra and the leader is Govinda Prabhu. I cannot fall in front of his lotus feet, in front of all of you at his lotus feet. But I beg for his blessings. He ordered me. And also, Madan Gopal Prabhu, who's the dear God brother, I request him to sit beside me also so that he can fill in whatever I do not know. He is the main inspiration behind what I am going to speak now. Both of us have been blessed by Govind Prabhu to be wanderers for a few days. And wandering around we have gathered a few things. The story of this place, historically, we heard a few days back. Just 3 days back as we were traveling from Nandaprayag to Joshimath in a jeep. And there was a cassette in which the story was heard. Before that we were, if not more, as much ignorant as you are. is explained after the Prakanda Vidwans, as the cassette says, the very intelligent people have gathered from many Puranas the story of this historical place. In all the yugas, this place has been mentioned by different names. I forget the names. One is Siddha Prapti, that was in Satya Yoga maybe. Draupada Yuga, it was something, Yoga something. In Kali Yuga, it is known as Badrinath. The story is that in Satya Yuga, there was a great demon. He was called at that time Durgam. Later on also, he got the name Rattaj and another name. That will come to that name after some time. Durgam? Durgam. He was actually a Danava. So this Durgam Danava performed lot of austerities for thousands of years to please the sun god, Surya Dev. And after thousands and thousands of years of his austerities, the sun god was pleased and appeared before him. And he asked him, all right, what is your desire? So Durgam, he first of all offered his respects to the sun god, and then he expressed his desire. His desire was that I want to be immortal, as any Danava wants to be immortal. So Surya Dev explained that for someone who has taken birth in this world, to be immortal is not possible. Yatasya dhruvam uttu, dhruvam mrittasya, dhruvam janma mrittasya cha. For one who has taken birth, death is certain. So you cannot have this benediction. So this Danava was thinking that how do I get a benediction by which I can be immortal? So he thought for a long time and he said, all right, please give me a blessing that I may be covered by thousand kavachas and no one may be able to defeat me as long as I have those kavachas. And only that person who has performed austerities for, we heard, 10,000 years, some say 100 years. Anyone who has performed austerities for 10,000 years continuously, that person may be able to break one of my kavachas. And only after thousands of my kavachas are broken, then I may die. Thinking such, Durgam thought that if he got this wish, he would be immortal. And Surya Dev, because he was bound by the tapasya that this person had done, yet he was bound to give some reward, so he agreed and he said, all right, may your wish be fulfilled. So then, Durgam got his wish, he got his thousand kavaches, and because he had this thousand kavaches, he also got the name of Sahasra Kavach, or one who possesses a thousand kavach, thousand armors that covered his body. After this, he became so powerful and arrogant that he started conquering everyone in all directions. First of all, he conquered all the Danavas, all the great Danavas, leaders that were there. Then with their help, he conquered everyone else in the lower planetary systems, and when he was the sole lord of everyone in the lower planetary systems, then he turned towards the upper planetary systems to capture the kingdom of the demigods. When he attacked along with his Danava army and the other armies, the heavenly planets, the war went on for thousands and thousands of years. Finally, the demigod army had to accept defeat. And he became the lord and master of all the three worlds. Very powerful, very arrogant, and very much enjoying his senses. But he knew that his death would be at the hands of anyone who did any tapasya. So he told all of his followers that anyone, anywhere in this universe, if you find him doing austerities, worshipping Lord Vishnu and performing austerities, immediately put him to death. Thus, all of his followers went all over the universe, and especially they stopped the rishis and the devotees. And anyone who was doing any tapasya was put to death by them. Thus, there seemed to be no way that this Sahasra Kavach could be defeated. And the demigods were also very unhappy losing their kingdom. So they all approached Lord Vishnu on the banks of the ocean of milk, and appear to Lord Vishnu. According to the Puranas, it is explained that the demigods pray to Lord Narayan, and in the Vaikuntha planets, Lord Narayan heard their prayers and he felt great compassion for all the living entities. That is, if Danava continues like this, everyone will be in trouble. So what should he do? There should be something should be done. At the same time, Lord Narayan was thinking that the activity that I perform should be such that not only Sahasrakavash, his reign of terror should be put to an end, but at the same time there should be some benefit to mankind forever, to all the living entities forever. So thinking like this, Lord Narayan thought that for this I must do some introspection. I must do some Atma Chintan. So he revealed his mind to the demigod. He said, "All right, don't worry, I will make some arrangements by which you will be free from the trouble caused by Sahasra Kavach. I am going to do some Atma Chintan." So everyone was very much amazed and happy that Lord Narayan is going to do some Atma Chintan for the benefit of the whole universe. So they went back to wherever they were staying, and then Lord Narayan started thinking, where should I find a place where I can do this Atma Chintan? So he searched through. He knows everything, but if the Lord does not perform pastimes like this in a personal way, then the Lord is a person, so we can understand. So he searched everywhere. By his inner vision, he understood that this tract of land, in the tract called as Kedarkhand, called Kedarkhand, is a very auspicious place, very potent place, best suited for doing tapasya. So he decided that he will come here and do Atma Chintan. Then Lord Narayan, he understood that actually this place belongs to Lord Shiva. But Shiva is the master of this place. So if he had to come and do his Atma Chintan here, he had to get this tract of land from Lord Shiva. How does he do that? So in order to perform his pastime, the Lord came here in the form of a very young, beautiful boy. Very effulgent. Very attractive. And sitting on a rock, he started crying in a very melancholy tone that would melt the heart of anyone. So Lord Shiva and Parvati were staying here in their kutir, in their house. So Mother Parvati, she explained, she is the mother of this universe. So her heart, when she heard this crying, this melancholy tune of this baby crying out in a longing way, she felt very much motherly affection that, why is this child crying? Who is this child? What is the problem? So she turned to her Lord and Master, Lord Shiva, and said, "My dear Lord, do you hear this child crying?"
Sir, Narayan Rishis.